Ready? Is it official?
Okay, it is 6:31, and I call the September 4th meeting of the Cambria Planning Board to order. Please rise and pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, we will... Yes.
I love Tootsie
Rolls. Off sugar.
Are you really?
Crap, I grabbed the wrong pen. You got an extra pen over there, Amy?
Which is substitute. Honey?
I grabbed the dead pen.
That's what I put on my cereal.
It takes 3 weeks to kill the sweet tooth. And after that, it doesn't call your name anymore.
Thank you. Okay, so let's take attendance. Linda.
Here.
Judy, excused. Mark, excused. Tim, here. Brian.
Yeah.
Rudy.
Here.
Who's and okay, we'll come back to him. Kevin.
Here.
And Scott.
Here.
I know he is. Okay. So the good news is we have a fairly light evening this evening, and I had a few things I could have put on there, and I said no. We've had about 2 months straight of two-hour meetings, and I thought it would be just nice to take a little breath here. So the first thing on our agenda is case number 24-006, minor subdivision, applicant. And property owner is Summit View of Hooksett, P.O. Box 299, Candia, New Hampshire. The location is 113 Crowley Road, Candia, New Hampshire, lots 414 lot 2. The intent is just to decide, is to subdivide into three lots and to eventually build three houses on the Raymond side of the border. Now, as history on this, right, Crowley Road is in such ill repair that both the neighbors and the town felt that some sort of road reconstruction needed to be done for the construction traffic and the future traffic from the two additional houses. Offline, Stantec. And Jeff, the road agent, and the applicant have had discussions about what kind of off-site improvements, what kind of methodology we should use. We did receive back from Stantec a proposal, and then it was passed through town council. Correct, Amy? And this has now been approved by town council. We just got it this afternoon because I talked to you at like 3:30 and we didn't have it. So the high points from our perspective, going to go through the methodology, right? Two additional lots will generate 10 vehicle trips per day per lot for a total of 20 added trips per day. There is existing 213 trips per day. I don't know how you get 0.67 trips. What do you like, go halfway down the road, forget your pocketbook?
You work nights and you don't come back till the morning.
There we go. That's another excuse. I'm always thinking that, my wife gets halfway down the road and forgets her glasses and has to come back. So you're laughing. I'm sure you do it too. Okay. So that would make that 233 trips per day. And then created the percentage of the total daily traffic that this would generate. And the reconstruction costs for the reconstruction proposed, which is not bringing the road up to town spec. It's just patching it up post-construction, is $235,374. Using that 8.56%, we get a total of $20,145 for the subdivision offsite improvements, or $72 per lot. This does set precedence. This methodology and this dollar value does set precedence. So we need to be comfortable with it. And so does the applicant.
I appreciate the fact that I was in his corner last meeting, that it seemed somewhat haphazard how we went about the calculation. And this does, it is mindful of actually making calculations based on something more of substantive than that. So I appreciate the effort that went there.
I agree. I think the other thing I like about this, without any particular instance in mind, is that it is something that is repeatable in other locations and for developments of larger size.
I have a question. Is there going to be a time limit put on that the road has to be done? And the reason I ask that is that if we did some other projects in the past, we'd give like 5 years to get the project done. Now, I think that Jeff had said, and it's in here actually, that the road is going to be reconstructed.
It's not a full reconstruction, it's top skinned. Yeah.
Not the top standards. That he's going to do it in 2024. What happens if he doesn't have the money to do it in 2024 and then it keeps going? Because he's got a lot of other projects that he's looking at doing over the next 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not something we can't put that as a condition on the applicant because they don't control that. I agree with you, although personally, my preference would be to not do the reconstruction until after construction is completed, right?
Well, I don't disagree with that because, you know, the road's going to get beat up more.
It doesn't make sense to make a nice road and then beat the bejesus out of it.
You have the 5 years on off-site improvements anyway, so, I mean, it has to be done within 5 years.
Right, just to bring Scott up to speed, I don't know if you had a chance to look at this just yet, but you saw the methodology.
That's in the impact fees, the 5 years. It's not in the offsites.
Offsite. Because that's where we ran into issues before. We had to give money back.
Yeah.
Because it didn't get done.
Right. But that was in the impact fees. Because this is going to be an offsite.
I know it's offsite.
It's going to be different. You know, like, I just, and as you said, Tom, I think the thing is just that it's going to set a precedent, but it's kind of, I think, a slippery slope in here. I don't have a problem if the landowner wants to contribute money and stuff, you know, and I think that was something that they talked about when they were here. That's not the main point. The main point to me is that we're charging an extra $11,000.
10,000.
Just to go over 10,000. And there's no commitment on the part of the town to reconstruct that road at all. I mean, they could give the money, could be put into, it's going to have to be put into an escrow account anyways, and then it could just sit there. There should be some kind of commitment on the part of the town that this is going to get done so that, you know, those people and also the rest of the people on the road aren't going to have a worse road because, as we said before, with the construction equipment going down there, then it's going to be, it's going to really tick people off.
Yeah.
Well, if the public hearing was any evidence to that, I would say that if the town doesn't use this money to reconstruct the road shortly thereafter, there will be a revolt at the select board meeting. Well, and they might even come here first because they know us.
I think probably we have an opportunity to avoid that problem.
But we can't commit the town to anything.
No, no. We can't. But if, let's say, for example, because it's all going to depend on money. And if Dennis,
dating yourself. God rest his soul.
Is looking for another $200,000, basically, is what he's looking at doing. If he puts in another warrant article, I don't know how the town's folks would vote, because he's already going to put some in for different roads that he's already.
Yeah, but he said he wasn't going to put in a warrant article. He was going to work it through the budget.
Right.
Say he could work it through the budget.
Yeah, and if.
But I think to make it simpler, we'd just put a time frame on the offsite improvements. It either gets done within a 4 or 5 year period, or the money has to be returned.
Well, I think it should be probably less than that, though, because the road, like. The road's going to get worse.
Yeah, I think 5 years is too long.
It'll get done as soon as he has the time and the money to do it.
Right.
I don't think we can make it 1 year, but we can certainly make it 2 or 3.
Do we have the leverage and authority to place a time frame on it?
No.
Or is that the select board?
You mean on an offsite improvement?
Yeah. We can.
I believe so.
Okay. We can.
Yep.
Now, it's
a condition of approval.
Right. Yeah.
But it's not their responsibility. It's not a condition on them. It's a condition on the town.
Right.
But is it based on when they get done with the project?
No, it would be a calendar date.
Okay. Mm-hmm. One thing that the applicant mentioned, and I don't know if any work was done. I don't know really how to investigate this. He said it was his understanding there was not RSAs that specifically addressed how these fees are produced.
Yeah.
Do we know if this follows whatever the RSA?
This has been approved by council, correct?
Correct.
Correct. That's why we just got it tonight.
Okay.
Because as of 3 o'clock this afternoon, we didn't have it approved by council. We do now.
Okay. The assumption is that it follows an RSA.
Yeah.
And council verified that.
Right. Offsite approval. Yeah. The form.
Yep.
Okay.
But like I'm saying, the thing is that in most of the offsite improvements that we've looked at before, let's take Crowley Woods. When they wanted to come out onto Crowley Road, we said, no, the whole road needs to be rebuilt. And that was the only condition of approval that we could do. So
the road wasn't wide enough.
Right away is not right away.
So then they couldn't do it anyways, but that was going to be the thing, is that we said, here's the offsite improvements that are going to have to be done. Can't be done. So we never got to the point of doing how much money it was going to cost.
Okay. I'm assuming that the applicant would be pleased or okay with this resolution if it does pursue the RSAs.
I think she is. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I go up there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, you stay right there.
Identify yourself.
Whatever you're comfortable.
Yeah. So I'm Kathleen Martell, basically representing Keith Martell tonight in his absence for some of you folks at LLC representing this property at 113 Crowley Road. He did have a meeting with Jeff and Brian before he left, and he was amenable to the process.
Okay.
And he felt comfortable.
That's important.
I have the authority to voice that, and it's within the number that was talked about. As long as that's for the total, I think would be 20 some thousand dollars.
Yeah, right.
As a condition, so we would be agreeable to that.
Would you be amenable to some time frame on that, or then the money has to be returned to you?
Meaning if the town doesn't approve the road in, say, 3 years, you get the cash back.
That's fine. That's really up to you. I know other towns do have that.
Yeah.
When we've done certain things like that, I know in Auburn we did something similar, or I know at different times there are. So I guess that's really.
This is Candy. We don't want to give cash back. So.
Yeah. I guess I don't know what the process is.
I think the other thing is, like you said before, not that the road is going to get any more wear than it is getting now. We don't know. Yes, it probably is, but we don't know if it's going or not. But I think if it does get worse, then a lot of the people who were here that were saying that road's in terrible condition now, and then we were saying at the meeting, is that, well, it's going to get worse with the heavy equipment, then the Thomas folks are going to say, what are you doing? You know, we told you the road was bad, and then you're not making any commitment to get the road decent, and you're charging people who are doing like two house lots $20,000, and
Nothing's happening.
Yeah, nothing's happening.
Yeah,
right.
We're not going to be able to make a commitment like that. That's why I figured putting the time frame on it is right. The better way of doing it.
Yeah, I think that still serves that same purpose, though.
At least it will
tick the people off if it doesn't get done.
Right, but at least we have done our job and our due diligence to try and protect the current homeowners who came in here and voiced their concerns that we all nodded their head about.
And Jeff will take care of any deficiencies that require care. I mean, even without this, you know, he's not going to let the road just deteriorate. And
so just understand the process. We approve this. They submit the money. It goes into the general fund.
No, escrow.
Okay, so it's not...
Can only be used for Crowley Road improvements.
Okay, so when Jeff goes through his budget and says, I have this project, and I can then add this money to my budget to go do this.
Right. Correct.
Okay, so it can't get misspent anywhere else. Okay.
No.
Yeah, all he does is need permission from the select board to spend $230,000, 20 of it coming out of this fund, and 210 coming out of his budget.
Great.
So the time frame, though, who will be putting the time frame on?
Us.
The planning board?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
to making sure that this road gets done.
Because we're setting a precedent, so we want to set a precedent to outside improvement.
Right, so that the agreement would be in here that if this was approved, it would be in the conditions of approval that the town
will improve the road within 2 years.
Within 2 years, or the money will be returned to the applicant. So it would just be tied into the final condition of approval. Because it'll be kind of like a two-way thing. One of them is that one of the conditions is that the applicant submits a check for $20,000 to put into an escrow account for the rebuild of for the rehabilitation.
Reconstruction.
No, it's not
road improvements.
Road improvements. Yeah. And then the other condition is that the road improvements aren't done by December 2025 or something like that, the funds get returned to the applicant.
I just want to make one quick comment, because I agree with Rudy's fund, and I know we're not the select board, so it's not our purview, but I do agree that the town does have a responsibility. If you look at some of the roads that I've been on, if I was living at that road, I would go to the town because I'm paying my fair share in taxes. And the one fundamental basic thing, you should at least not have a totally crumbling stretch of pavement in front of your house. So I know it's all about the budget and how we're going to fund it. But I think there's a general sense that everybody wants good roads. That's the one fundamental thing that you want, you know, right? So that's why we got Brian here, selectman's rep to the planning board.
I think, but I think 2 years is too short a time.
I do too.
Three.
I was going to say even
four.
They know the money's gone, and why? But can we really afford to do that to the residents and make them wait 4 years?
I'm not saying they're going to wait 4 years, but you can do a better window.
But it makes them kind of procrastinate on it, though.
I'm in the three camp as well.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I think
that's
we also
three is agreeable.
I think we also got to realize that, you know, let's just say it's going to take a year to get this done.
Yeah, right. Build the houses.
So that gives the town two. I mean, I hope it wouldn't take you more than a year to do three houses. Otherwise, the residents will not be happy with you, and your husband will be getting phone calls. So I think that gives the town 2 years post-construction.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, and I wouldn't, I guess what I would say is, so I'm just throwing this out, right? So if we're going to do 3 years from December 31st of this year, we would say December 31st, 2027.
Is that to have the road work completed or begun?
Completed.
Because we don't even know what the weather's going to be like. The weather just chews that road up like crazy this
spring.
It was a mess.
Yeah.
Let alone who knows what the weather's going to be.
It's not going to be like South Road. I mean, ever.
Jeff said it's in a swamp. He's going to dig the swamp. He's going to dig it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To do it right, yeah.
To do it, you know.
All right. You guys beat me up on the four. I'll go with three.
No, because it gets the town moving, though, too, you know.
Yeah.
You want a motion?
Yeah.
I'd make a motion to approve the application. Two conditions. One, that the applicant provide a check, I guess, probably, in the sum of $20,145.85 for offsite road improvements at Crowley Road. And the other condition would be that the road is not rehabilitated or improved by December 31st, 2027, that the funds be returned to the developer.
To the applicant, yeah.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay.
Is the applicant all good with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So we've got Linda.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Brian.
Yes.
Rudy.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
All right. Motion passes.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, I just as a note, I'm glad we had that nice discussion about this, because this does set precedence for other things in the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, we couldn't just look at it in this.
We've always been a little laxed on off-site improvements.
Yeah.
Just to be polite.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad that's. Okay, the next up is the HOP Steering Committee, Cam Perlman, who is not here tonight. I will just state a few things. One, I did have a meeting beginning of last week with Cam, Susan, who is a senior planner, Brian, and Brian Ruoff, and myself and Amy about HOP 2. And we talked about breaking it down into two phases. Phase one would be StanTech looking at our ordinances and our regulations and looking for low-hanging fruit that are causing us problems, both in terms of having to do variances all the time and in terms of really restricting proper development in town. So that we won't necessarily, you know, go through the whole process. We can get that low-hanging fruit, try to get that all done by March, and then we've got a better footing to actually do the future-looking stuff and get the community engagement and try to make some significant changes. I asked Cam and Suzanne to basically put together a, lack of better terminology, a Gantt chart, tasks and timelines, and that is something that we as a board will manage them to and go from there. Is it public yet? Can I mention? No? Okay. Don't say anything. I have spoken with a couple of members on the HOP committee, and I've spoken to them about the stuff we've been talking about on to keep them engaged on, you know, ADUs and on, you know, doing some things to try and change our zoning so that we can actually have affordable housing here in town and put that on the ballot. And people who you would have expected 2 or 3 years ago to be against it are actually thinking that, yeah, we've actually got to do something. So
it's been effective.
It's been an effective process. Okay. And by the way, I didn't tell Cam, but I heard back from Alyssa at Plan New Hampshire, and she was like, wow, this is a really good report. She said, in fact, it's such a good report, I'm moving to Candia.
Really?
Yeah, well,
she actually moved to Candia?
Her significant other is the new police chief.
Oh, wow.
Nice. So, no. So that's where that's standing. So we will hopefully not have the problems the second time around that we had the first time, because everybody's gotten some education. It's got more eyes. It's got more resources at Southern Hampshire Planning. It's all good. Okay?
Has the new chief been sworn in yet?
October, isn't it?
No, he doesn't start till the 9th.
The 9th of September?
That's when we're going to introduce him.
Then there's an overlap?
Yes.
All right. So next up, Nate Miller on impact fees.
I don't have anything for you.
He just likes us.
I'm here to just hear if you have any feedback or tweaks or anything to the drafts before we move to public hearing. You have the drafts. We reviewed them. I sent them to Amy following the last meeting. I know she sent them to the entire board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've all read through them. So if there are any, you know, edits or changes or tweaks or anything along those lines, now would be the time. And that's why I'm here, just to hear if you have anything that you want to incorporate before we call these drafts good to go to public hearing.
I can't say that I read every single word, but I think they're good to go.
We went through it in decent detail.
Yes.
It held water.
I can tell you that I did read each one of them, and it looked really, really good.
Yeah.
I didn't even find any typos for you. I'm sorry.
I do proofread. I have somebody else at the office proofread everything.
Always a good thing. I do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's old school professionalism.
Yeah. So
I don't want to nominate Nate as effing planner of the year. I'm telling you, we should retain him for the next.
I appreciate that.
But you spoiled us, see. So now we like having you around.
And we also all agreed that the 2000 number was a reasonable number, considering the previous number was 1300 or 1400, and that was 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the increase has not been.
Inflation certainly.
Now, I do have to tell you a funny story, though. That's what I talked to Nate about these impact fees 2 years ago, and he was very hesitant about taking it on back then.
I conned him into doing it. So we don't have anyone in the office that knows impact fees other than me, so I was like oh
crap.
Well, he didn't have anything else to do at the time
but it's worked out fine. I want to get to the point where we have other staff that I can bring in and start to learn the art of the impact fee. Mm-hmm. So to speak. But yeah, it worked out fine, because I was just finishing Chester's at the time.
Right.
And we did 5, I think, in Chester.
But you also were fortunate enough, you had another advisor helping you, too.
Yes, I actually had Bruce Mayberry, the guru of impact fees in New Hampshire. And if you look up impact fees, pretty much just about, you know, all around the state, you'll see Bruce Mayberry's name on them. Bruce was retiring, and I asked him in his, you know, as he was approaching retirement, if he wouldn't mind, and we paid him to do this, peer review my drafts, right? As an extra kind of step to make sure that everything was as airtight as possible, and he was really helpful in that process, and it was great for me to sit under his learning tree, because he has done so many impact fees and knows, you know, every intricacy of impact fees that was helpful. Yeah. Bruce is now happily retired.
So 20 years from now, people are going, impact fees. You got to talk to Nate Miller.
Yeah, right.
He's the guy.
It's funny that I started, well, Bruce's clients would call him and he'd say, well, I'm retired. And they'd say, do you know anybody who does impact fees? And they would, and Bruce would actually kind of, you know, direct people to me. And so I was getting calls from towns outside of the region. And I'm like,
side gig?
You got spare time, dude.
I resisted the urge to moonlight. And so I just do impact fees for Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission towns.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you taking that.
Well, yeah.
I imagine the fees at places like Concord and Portsmouth are fairly complex.
They are, because you're into multiple fire stations, with serving different portions of the community with different capital needs in each.
Right.
Of it gets more complex, you know, with more infrastructure.
Yeah.
There is more complexity there.
Yeah, I think we're all good with it now. So we'll have to schedule a hearing on this public hearing when you're available.
When is the, what are you thinking?
What's our next meeting look like?
Just possibly one informational thus far.
So that is...
18.
Jim, do you want a motion to accept the drafts?
Oh, good point. We should do that. Yeah, good point.
I'll make a motion to accept the drafts for, I'm sorry, was it traffic?
Road and public
safety.
I'll second that.
Okay. Going to go reverse order this time. Scott.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Rudy.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Tim. Yes. Linda.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Date.
The 14th, is it? 18th.
Do you have enough time to notice a hearing for the 18th?
It has to just be 10 days.
10 days. Yeah.
Just thinking of. What is today?
Fourth
to the 18th? Yeah, you have time.
Yeah.
If that day works for you, if it doesn't, just let Amy know and we'll move it.
I should be able to do the 18th.
Okay. So while you're here, I'm going to jump ahead to something that I was going to talk about later, but about budget, but there is in this year's budget, and I let Nate know today, there is $85,801. Yeah. I'm gonna kill Brian. There's $8,501 in our budget for town planning and implementation, which, as Rudy said, he put that in there last year for the school and the solid waste district impact fees.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we'll put a contract together.
Yeah.
For those. We have not invoiced for anything related to these two impact fees yet, so we'll send an invoice for that and we'll put a contract together for next.
And those are the encumbered funds from last year for these.
Yes. So, I guess we'll need a vote that I can, we'll see when he gets me the thing, but I'll have to sign it. Maybe we can probably do that next meeting.
We can do it next meeting too. It's fine.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'll send you a draft contract between now and then. You can send it to the board. And pretty straightforward.
So we'll go to budget in the appropriate order. I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah. Just one thing to keep in mind is that I know you were just talking about budgets and stuff. We're going to have to figure out what to spend the money out of next, because I didn't have anything after the impact fees. So, and then if we're getting someone to come up and do all of the regulation reviews and updates and stuff like that, then
that's in HOP too.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That money is already allocated. It's not going to come out of town funds. So,
correct. So actually, yeah, our budget's going to go down significantly next year because a lot of things that we would have been paying for, we're going to put them out of the HOP.
God love George Reagan and HOP.
Yeah, gotta love it.
There's still some other things. I can still keep that money in there because there's a whole bunch of other things.
Well, let's wait till we get to budget. So anything else for Nate?
I have one thing for you. I don't know if you, I did email you on the, I asked our staff about campgrounds and they did give me an example. We looked at the towns in the region. There are four towns that allow campgrounds by special exception. The only one that had any sort of detail was Derry. And I did print this out for you.
Did you print one up for everybody?
I did not. No, I only brought one copy. But
who is more prepared tonight?
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
Really?
Perfect. Well, there you go. So Derry allows campgrounds in their medium density residential district. And if you look at section E of that, it's the most in-depth zoning ordinance related to campgrounds that we saw of any of the towns in our region.
Is it more than one page?
Yeah, it's on the backside. Starts at E on page 120.
Oh, okay.
I got an inkjet printer and not a lot of paper, so that's on two sides.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they limit the dates of operation.
Yeah.
They say it's got to be all must be accessed from a state highway.
Okay.
No closer than 250 feet to an existing residence or an existing residential curb cut.
This is in medium density.
Yeah, it's only in their medium density residential district.
Which
so Derry has this in a particular zoning district within their community.
But then it's weird. Then they come on to say that sites and facilities can't be no closer than 1,000 feet from an existing residence. So I don't know which is which.
Oh, the access.
Oh.
They should be no closer than 2.
Yeah, access.
Yeah,
no
access
closer than 250.
To
a site, an actual campsite.
Campsite can be no closer than 1,000 feet.
So now, I mean, I think quite honestly, they're talking about it, you know, a big commercial KOA Jellystone campground.
Yes, absolutely.
Right with this.
Yep. We were contemplating some of the other possibly smaller type ones.
The newer, you know, there's this whole new fad out there, what's called Class C camping, which is what we used to call conversion vans,
mm-hmm.
right? When we were kids, that's what they were. Now they're Class C campers,
mm-hmm.
Which is vans. And there's a whole tourism industry building around that. So, I mean, I think, you know, and personally, I don't know the answer to this. If we need a campground ordinance in the commercial district, you know, say like someone wanted to put a campground in Candia Springs.
Right.
Because that's a commercial operation.
That would be more like.
But that would be more in this vein. But I'm saying that would be okay. We would probably, you know, work through that anyway because that's a commercial application in a commercial zone.
Right. I think the problem that you'd have, too, is that if you didn't do something like that and you did it in a residential district, then you'd probably wind up doing spot zoning. Which would be a problem because we don't have a medium density definition.
Right,
we just have residential, commercial, and industrial.
Yeah, no, and this is absolutely just a discussion piece, right?
Yeah, this is just grist for the mill for you guys. It's just something, you know, a notable example from another community in the region that, you know, is dealing with campgrounds.
Yeah, it's got great points about it.
It does, but you know, I mean. Again, I'll throw out there just to talk about what I think we're talking about is in a residential district, 5-10 campsites, you know, nothing longer than umpty squat feet, you know, for a camper, so you don't have Class A's going down New Boston Road or whatever, or Depot or something, you know.
I think as long as you protect, like, the abutters, and they have their right to quiet enjoyment, then I'm like, well, you know, why not let somebody do something like that? It's not to harm anybody. Brings in a little bit of revenue. Brings stuff into town. It's like, but you can't. You got to make sure it stays.
Yeah, right.
Not pretty.
Well, then it would have to go through the zoning ordinance process too, so
correct.
The public can weigh in on it.
Yeah,
correct. Whether they're on it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's almost like there is like two separate. Aspects.
Yeah, I just thought after what happened this year, we should at least start talking about it. Whether we get it done for March or not is irrelevant to me. You know, it's just
right. It's on the
let's
on the
yeah,
let's start talking about it, thinking about it, and you know, bring it up every couple of meetings and talk through. But that's my personal idea. You know, I don't have any. I'm not married to any numbers or whatever. But this kind of new tourism that them young kids are doing.
Yeah,
micro camping kind of thing.
Yeah. You know.
I think the biggest thing, though, is, you know, if someone wanted to do it from a cost standpoint, it's going to be kind of prohibitive because, you know, it's the number 8, state approval.
Oh, Nate sent me the state regs, too.
There's a state RSA.
Yeah.
Facilities for water supply, toilet, sewer disposal, solid waste disposal.
Yeah.
Oh,
you just put in water alone and sewage alone. A five-site campground.
You'll never pay for it.
No.
Ever.
Oh,
there is a state RSA that you kind of need to consider in this context. What was it, Tim? I sent you a link. Is it 216I? Something like that. RSA 216I.
It's not viable.
Is recreational campground regulations at the state level.
Right.
I didn't print that off for everybody, but I do have it, yeah.
Let me see. I think it's, let me just check to see if it's 216.
Yeah, but it doesn't say, it doesn't say water for every site. And it doesn't say sewage.
It is 216I, yeah. So it's something worth taking a look at in this context as well, because there are state level regulations about recreational campgrounds.
The problem is, even if they just had a spigot, it's a community well, right? If they had one spigot for five campsites, it falls under state water quality.
It wouldn't be if it's just five, because I think, Scott, you know the one about the public water supply. Isn't it 25 or more?
Oh, you're right. It may not be for five. Yeah.
Yeah.
Public water supply.
Yeah, it's like you can go up to like nine physical units before you trigger that, and I think it is 20 and 25, yeah, people.
So they wouldn't necessarily have to create water for everybody. They just need to have a central spigot. I don't know. I didn't look to see whether, you know, pit toilets are still an acceptable form of...
It is a commercial use in a residential zone. That's the one thing. Mm-hmm. So then we do have to sort of regulate it to that level, and it is going to cost money. And you're starting to say, if they're going to really sink in that much money, is somebody really going to do it? If the economics don't work, so...
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm literally not sitting here saying this is a priority. No, I'm not sitting here saying I'm for it. I'm just saying, since what happened, we should at least have a conversation.
Now, is agritourism, is that something that
different.
We... Yeah, it is.
It is.
But we must, as a planning board, have some say on some, like the sites... What a health would have, what the state's looking at. So there are still regulations that they have to follow in an agritourism campsite.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I just didn't want to be a hands-off and just find out what is agritourism, what does it mean? I know what it means, but what are their regulations?
But they could take the ball out of our hands if someone comes in and has a pumpkin patch and says, we got five campsites,
right,
and you got to pick a pumpkin a day for $55. Right?
As a workaround.
There is a workaround, okay? And we would be kind of hamstrung.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing or a good thing. It's it's reality.
Not necessarily. It would still probably come under
Dean's line.
Some of the state regulations for public health.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
If you have, Winspur Ranch up by my house, they have camping pretty much all summer. But some of the kids stay there. Some of them come from day to night.
Camps, yeah.
And it just kind of works. It just works.
Yeah, because they have to have, they have to meet the state health requirements, basically for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to answer your thing about not having sites, every site have this stuff, that's why Derry has taken care of that. It's a service facilities. Service building, a building for toilet, showers, facility shall be provided. No camping space shall be more than 500 feet from a service building. So you wouldn't need water in each one.
Well, the state RSA does have a water supply provision.
For each one?
So, you kind of have to look, okay, so what does the state define as a campground, right? A state defines a recreational campground or camping park as a parcel of land on which two or more campsites are occupied or are intended for temporary occupancy for residential dwelling purposes only and not for permanent year-round residency, excluding recreation camps as defined in RSA 170E55. So two or more on a parcel of land. Now there's another section on water supply. An accessible, adequate, safe, and potable supply of water shall be provided in each recreational campground or camping park where a public supply of water of sufficient quantity, quality, and pressure is available. Connection shall be made to the supply, and that supply shall be used exclusively. When a satisfactory public water supply is not available, a private water supply system may be used if approved by the DES. So there is a water supply provision for a recreational campground.
Campground, but not per site.
Well,
Correct.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Not per site. Right. But well, if you have it, if you have two or more campsites,
500 feet of hose from the service building. I don't think so.
Well, as a guy who has a camp trailer, and right, there's a lot of campgrounds that they have everything from no service to water and electric.
Yeah, dry camping.
Yeah.
To water, sewer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are places that have no services. So.
Oh, okay.
But you're right, there is a spigot that really is kind of close to three or four sites.
Yes.
There's the old pump spigot.
Yep.
Oh, I can't tell how many times I've had to haul a bucket, like a couple hundred yards down to
pump. And that's going to a potable water supply.
And that was here in New Hampshire, so that,
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of them out there still grandfathered from.
So
100 years ago.
Yeah.
Again, this is
for further discussion.
Just food for thought.
But I would recommend if you take a look at that RSA 216i because there's a lot in there about campgrounds.
Yeah, and that's not in our book.
Yeah, it's not a land use regulation. That's why you ventured into an area that's tangential to land use sort of, but still somewhat associated. But yeah, it's 216i, and unfortunately it's not in the book, so you have to look it up online.
Right. Anything else? Anybody?
Nate? Tangential? Can you spell that?
Tangential. TANGENTIAL.
Thank you.
Now, tangential just means like touching one line in a circle, but in your case, it means you're going way the hell off.
We had tangent and cotangent, right?
Oh, yeah.
Trigonometry.
True. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Mr. Crawford.
All right.
Thanks, Nate. We'll see you on the 18th. And would you like me to do a presentation for the public hearing or just be ready to answer any questions? A brief overview?
A brief overview for the public would be good.
PowerPoint or no PowerPoint?
Yeah, you can do a PowerPoint. Whatever you feel like doing.
I'll do brief overview PowerPoint.
Yeah.
I'll hit the highlights. And
yeah, don't go through all the calculations.
I'll hit the highlights.
Because we'll
hit blank places.
And I'd be prepared for negative comments on it. Yeah. Because I know there's going to be some people who don't want to have the impact fees at all.
Sure. So. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Huh. We'll be ready.
Perfect.
All right.
Very good. Thank you.
Have a good night. Safe drive home, Nate.
All right. Yep. Take care.
Thank you.
See you in 2 weeks.
Right, they do. All we're doing is updating them.
We're raising the prices.
We're updating them.
To meet inflation.
I don't disagree with it, but I know that there's been some undercurrents of us making it too expensive to build houses in Canada.
Well,
we're adding cost to it, for sure, but that's the way of the world. It's less expensive here than in a lot of places.
I've seen the minimum lot
that's
cost in Canada is $150,000.
Like 2.25.
Well, you can still find one or two.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real limiting factor.
So you end up with $8,000 homes again.
Yeah, right? No, exactly.
$200,000 lot, you're going to end up with $800,000 home, and then you start to blast it.
Yeah. There's so, no...
Housing is $300 a square foot right now.
Well, I can tell you from costing out my project... I went in wanting to be at a certain price, and I'm like, the market is telling me this is where you're going to have to be. Now, people will go out of their minds because housing seemingly is incredibly expensive, but that's just the reality. If you want it, it's a new, whole new price structure. And
Don't worry, the legislature will take care of that next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, our new president's going to give $25,000 to let people buy a home.
It doesn't buy you much in a home.
It's for the people that can't afford a home to give them a leg up.
Right. Yeah, but still.
So then, a year and a half down the road, they can repo all of them.
It's a subprime market again.
Which is exactly what set up the crash.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the exact policy that set up the crash.
Okay, we're getting off of it.
Yep. Hey, what was that? Was that a tangent?
It wasn't me.
it's not that far off because the big thing that you're looking at right now is the regulations, and we already saw that the local control was kind of being pushed aside a little bit when we were looking at some of the regulations last year. So it's not really politics; it's like
the state, right? No, the state is saying they're gonna that this housing crisis is so important that we have to step in. That's what that's what they're doing.
Yep,
they can just take over all of them.
All right. Meeting minutes. Anybody got anything on the August 7th meeting? I didn't think I saw anything. I didn't.
Yeah, he saw it.
Yeah, and I,
not on that track.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay.
I was just hard to read. Line 457 into 458.
Jesus, we had 400 and some odd lines.
Yeah. You doing all the talking?
By the way, just so you guys all know, Amy is trying out an AI tool to be able to take minutes, so she doesn't have to sit there and type minutes.
Good for Amy. If it works.
It's the except we've just and it's signed off. It just doesn't.
What line was that again?
457.
457.
Except we've just and. I don't think the and needs to be there.
Take
out
the and.
Yeah, and yeah. Just, and then get rid of it is. And I think that would make it okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's it. Except for the ones that I
the
think.
Ones you already sent me.
Okay.
I mean,
for the promise. All right. Anybody motion?
Motion to accept meeting minutes of August 7th, 2024 that were amended.
I don't know if you can. You weren't here.
Oh, that's right. I wasn't here.
Report.
Nope.
Oh, you
I
can't.
Cannot.
I can't either because I wasn't here.
All right. Make the motion.
And Kevin, you got to make the second.
I will second that.
Perfect. So we'll do the vote. Linda is
abstained.
Tim, yes. Brian?
Yes.
Rudy?
Abstained.
Kevin?
Yes.
And Scott?
Yes.
Okay.
We have four folks.
By the way, is Bob's letter in everybody's packet?
No, just yours.
Just mine. All right, so I will... just read a letter from Bob Donovan into the record because he's requested that I do that, and I will just leave it at that. I read the minutes of the August 7th Planning Board meeting. I just want to clarify the reason 23 Main Street was shut down was a foundation company was there setting up to start the footings. It was shut down due to there being no permits pulled for the work to start. It had nothing to do with the plans. I do not know if you can clear this up, so it would be in the minutes. So I've just read it into these minutes.
Perfect.
All right. Next up, August 21st. I have to admit to not really paying too much attention to these.
I must admit I did not get to them.
Do you want to put them off till the next meeting? Nobody's looked at them?
I promise I'll read it by the next meeting.
Yes.
We will postpone those to the next meeting. That works for me. Okay. So now I think is a good time to jump back into the budget stuff. So basically, the $8,500 is coming out because anything we'll be doing next year will be under HOP grant money, so, but everything else will remain basically the same. We had to move up the GIS system from 1100 to 1646 because that was the actual bill. Then got our Southern Hampshire planning dues at 2900, and then law lectures at 150, seminars and conferences 1100. Books and periodicals, 175, and we spent 154, so we're spot on budget there pretty much. And $400 for legal notices, which we have not used. We keep it in there because we never know we'll need it. That's our budget. The budget meeting is the 13th of September. I don't know if anybody's got an idea of anything else we should throw in there or ask for, or just be heroes with the select board this year.
You want to take the $8,500 out?
Well, because it's going to be...
No, leave it in, because there's other things that you should be looking at. One of them is that We currently don't have any justification for the 3-acre minimum building lots. One of the things that talked about a number of years ago was looking at doing a little bit more studies of basically like aquifers and how the different soils in Candia can either justify 3 acres or 2 acres or 7 acres, something like that. We looked at that. If we ever got challenged on it,
Britain versus Chester and the whole, you know.
Right.
If somebody challenges our 3 acres, we will lose. I don't know. Can we cover that through hop stuff?
Yeah. What? Because it's housing.
No. Hop is not going to cover doing an engineering study.
Well, Stantec is, Stantec is going to be doing a lot of work on this.
They are, but that's not an engineering study. What you need to do is to look at all those maps over there with different soil types and all the things in there. That's what you need to be looking at, is to get the land evaluations more than this. The Hop grant is going to look at the regulations, but it's not going to give you the ammunition that you need to justify your minimum acreage of 3 acres. Like, I know that some areas, well, we talked about this before.
Let's get Cam on the line. Hey, Cam, road call.
Well, it's going to take an engineering firm to do it.
I kind of understand. I'm kind of thinking it's probably not a bad idea to have a few bucks in there. Like, we're doing such a good job, and because we were able to, as a board, go out and get those grants. And so, I mean, the town should pay a little bit for planning, and if we add a little money, but we may not have to use it. But if at the same time, I understand what you're saying, Tim, that we could probably, that grant, if we check into it, we could probably cover everything. We probably don't need it.
To give you an idea, we got $50,000 in the grant.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Stantec has submitted a quote for the entire work on the Hop grant of $5,000.
Right.
Right. And part of what I think we're going to require, if we want to look at affordable housing with a little higher density, we're going to have to look at the water and wastewater capabilities in the different parts of town.
Yep.
Because we don't want to say you can do affordable housing a little higher density here, and there's no water. Mm-hmm. So, I think what I'd like to do, personally, because I'm cheap, I'd like to see how much we can get done in the Hop grant by sneaking it in with that work that's going to need to be done for the high-density housing.
I don't think you should drop that money out of the budget yet.
No.
You'll never get it back.
No, you'll never, yeah.
We fought tooth and nail to get that in there, even though we had a really good plan of this is what we want to do.
We could have money for what's-his-name if he's not retired, or, you know, we could do some good things. I don't know. But, yeah, I do believe, and then the following year we get $100,000, third year of grant.
That's 2 years from now, yeah.
So it's like, holy planning money.
Well, we better have a plan for the plan.
Right.
Right.
If you think you can get it done, the engineering study to do the capabilities of the land areas in Candia that can support higher density or even lower density, then fine. But, you know, if you can't, we're going to be screwed.
Doesn't hurt to leave a little bit in there.
Yeah.
Leave 85 or leave 5?
I was thinking 75. I was at 75. You're at 5?
5, then you'd look like a hero.
Yeah, I'll go.
Five would be a good start.
I'm not on 5.
You could get an engineering company to come in for $5,000. You could get Stantec to come in for $5,000 and start a preliminary analysis.
All right.
And then the next year you do the next analysis. It's the same thing as with the Hop grants.
And we'll still be the only department in the whole budget that
given some money costs
went down.
And still get screwed.
Yeah. With the least amount in their budget and the biggest hit.
I do think it would be of value to have a leg to stand on if we are challenged on 3 acres. Because, you said,
it's going to come down.
You want to have the data to back yourself.
Why don't you check with Stantec just to see if they can give you a little bit of a proposal of, like, what could you get for $5,000 to help us do this study.
Help us defend 3 acres or less.
Yeah, defend what we have in our zoning ordinances. Because, you know, I think it's 2 acres in right down here in
the
center
Amaya,
area.
Right?
Yeah.
But then the other one of the things that came up when we were looking at the whole village district was, is can that area support
the aquifer?
Yeah. The aquifer can support
drainage.
You kind of know where, you kind of, if you've been in Canada long enough, you kind of know where the water, where it is, right?
But kind of knowing.
But
I agree.
But we kind of know where it kind of runs right along 27 down, right? And that's a state road, and that's where it makes the most sense to get any kind of density off the state road where the water is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we should actually, like you said, do the science, go out there, look at the soils, get some actual data, and then do an overlay based on, where we know it makes sense to do it. Because, and Brian, came up with that, kind of, essentially.
Yeah, maybe do it sectional. Yeah, do a little here, like that one first.
You know, because
I was told Jerry Becker to just start his own water.
Right, Jerry Becker down. You go down the hill there.
Oh, he pumps like
up here,
water all day long.
Ziggy Water Company just went a line right up.
Well, he fills my pool every year.
Yeah,
he filled us.
Yeah,
the guy next to the church here.
Yeah,
was talking about Joe. He got like 100 gallons a minute there. So I mean, it kind of his water out. It kind of, I think. And then Seidner, you remember where Seidner lived?
Yeah.
They had the same. I mean, same thing. So you really want to be, like you said, tap into the aquifer.
The old Crosby greenhouse up there. They ended up actually hitting a lake.
Are you shouldn't.
There's another guy.
Which greenhouse?
One each.
Crosby's old.
Oh, yeah.
Is it artesian? There is a well up there that's endless.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll put $5,000 in the last stand ticket that'll buy us. Well, I'll get us something. And again, I think we can stuff a lot of this into, especially if he came back with $5,000 to go redo all our zoning ordinances. I think we got room there. We know that Southern New Hampshire Planning is going to come in at that, 25 number probably again to manage the whole thing.
Yeah, just tell Brian that's what we're looking for.
Right, they say there's some money left over, you know.
Yeah.
I know there was, when I sat down and had lunch with George Regan, he was talking about this guy who's kind of like, has a national reputation, and basically what he does is he crunches the nut, he looks at the community, and where some people think the best thing to do for the tax rate is to put everything in the current use and just keep everything the way it is now, he actually runs all the numbers, and he will help a community understand what your best mix is and like what you really should be doing, which a lot of the things I think we maybe intuitively know, but again, now you've got the data coming back and saying, hey, this is what makes sense for your community. So I remember George Regan encouraging me at some point in the process, maybe when we get into the 100 grand, we get this guy, he's like from North Carolina or something, but he said he's
the guy. It's just one page again, it's on both sides.
And then you're targeting that mix because you want a certain amount of commercial, so you know, and he says this is what.
So anyway, we are now dangerously close to the ADU ordinance. I have actually put in here all the ordinance numbers and looked at everywhere there's ADU mentioned in the zoning ordinance, and I've put down two different options for us. So basically, Article 3 defines an ADU. And I still have a second dwelling unit attached. I gotta change that. That's my bad. Attached or detached.
Get rid of these.
Or detached.
Why don't you just do a slash detached?
Yep.
/detached.
Okay. So I then took the table in, from section 502. And I added number two, which is I added single to accessory dwelling units by permit for it was permitted in both residential and in mixed use. So I just put permitted rather than special exception.
But you want to change up the first accessory dwelling unit because you have second accessory dwelling.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now I've put in here section 1505E. Oh, and that's a semicolon, not a period.
Oh, I'm wondering, question, why do you have both conditional use and special exception?
Because we need to decide how we want to handle it and if we can handle it as a conditional use.
Okay, it's part of the discussion tonight.
What's the difference? You know, I'm not quite sure.
A special exception goes to the zoning board.
Okay.
Okay, and if the property is destroyed or you want to knock it down and build a new one, you can't without getting another special exception.
Okay.
So it locks you in.
And then conditional,
a conditional use would go to the planning board.
I thought we weren't allowed to issue conditional use permits anymore.
Mm-hmm. We are. We're not allowed to do variances.
Well, we still can do conditional permits right now because, let's see.
The only thing that required them was over 55 and workforce housing.
Correct.
The only two that required
conditional use
permit, and I thought that we lost that right.
No, we can still issue those, but if they want any kind of, just like...
Waivers?
If they want any kind of waivers
right.
on a conditional use, we can't give them the zoning board
house. And even that was gray at best, because I remember when it first happened, the ruling kind of came back and said, from the town attorney, and they said, oh no, you can still do it. It was a citizen's petition, but they said, you haven't lost the right. And then somehow that kind of got turned around, and yes, we have lost it.
Yeah.
And then in the end, when I heard Andy Sullivan say, well, any way you do it, you're going to end up in court. So it's kind of like, it's a lot of gray there. And one thing I've learned about attorneys, they love nothing better than going to court. That's how because I've had times when I talk to my attorney, and they say black and white, it's white. And then you get the opinion from the town attorney, and they go, it's black. And you're like, how can that be? You see, they always want there to be an inherent, that's attorneys.
Well, when we get that with...
Right? Surgeons cut, definitely.
Yeah.
Do.
Yeah.
That's how they work.
Well, we got that, we got two different opinions from Southern, from Municipal Association's attorney and from town attorney.
Right.
So, it's
we chose
all,
the town attorney because he's the guy we got to pay if we get sued.
And that only came because Mike and Bart ended up talking and they decided... err on the side of caution, and
honestly, if you think about
but
it,
you're right. They never.
I kind of don't mind.
Definitely
right.
yes.
And in
definitely.
The beginning, it was no.
Yeah.
This wasn't even. This is
right.
not
stand
being
up.
Able
that
to wait.
Was
the
first.
The first back.
Even within the firm, they're like
yeah.
you're not sure. So it always tells you there's always gray, and it's a matter of the board to say which side of the gray. Are you on the black side or the white side of the gray? You know what I mean?
My take is that I would rather the zoning board take the heat on those types of things and stay clean, but
you know. Common says, hey, what's your
I think that we know
exactly.
the most about it and I'm always like, why do we want another board weighing in on something that we're best informed? But I don't personally as a board member like giving up the right for us to do something. Given the opportunity, I want to be able to do the conditional use permit, you know.
Well, that's also
that's what I want. What do you think, Rudy? What's your take?
Mine was that the board does not no longer have any power to waive anything in the ordinance.
No, not the waiver, so, but he's talking about like with this condition.
The only thing I don't know, and we'd have to get town council's opinion on this, is whether we can do conditional use, because it... That comes under innovative land use controls. And
yeah.
here is the listing of things that you can use. Innovative land use controls may include, but not limited to, timing incentives, phase developments, intensity and use incentives.
It's a use incentive.
You know, cluster development. This is kind of that, right? Impact zoning, flexible and discretionary zoning, environmental. Inclusionary zoning and impact fees and village plan alternative subdivisions. So I'm not sure it fits
there. You're heading in the right direction, and we can't do conditional use permits because it's not under that. It's ADUs or it's a separate regulation.
And in the law that was coming in, and so I don't know the answer, in the law that was coming, was proposed, first one had to be by right.
Yeah.
Second one could be by special exception or conditional use. So we might be able to go either way.
And yeah, they would have to change, if they do the law, they would have to change that section that you just listened
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't read the entire thing, and town council would be the one to, because I'm not going to read,
right.
you know, I just that's just not my gig, man, to read three pages of legal mumbo-jumbo.
Yeah.
I'd rather pay some guy who knows it and go,
And, you know,
and then to have him come down at the end and say, well, maybe you better not.
The easiest and cleanest way to do it is to just do it as a special exception. Because, you know, the ZBA can't deny an ADU. Because a special exception says, you get a special exception if you do this, 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 and this. They can't say no. If you do conditional use permit, then you get into much more detail that you don't want to get into. Like, you know, it's with the workforce housing and the elderly housing.
No, but this is, this. if you go to the bottom here where it says section 1504.E,
yeah.
this is based on what we currently have, okay?
Yeah.
And just added, so let's go into that because that may placate some of that, right? This, so any single family dwelling in a residential or mixed use district may be converted, modified, or constructed to provide a maximum of 2 accessory dwelling units. The initial dwelling unit is permitted as per section 502. I can make that the first, but the second accessory dwelling unit may be permitted as a conditional use or special exception, whichever we choose. All accessory dwelling units are subject to the following restrictions.
I would just go right up to that one and just say that a maximum of 1 detached accessory. That's the way, where was the part right there I wanted to see?
Okay.
Oh, a second accessory dwelling shall be permitted under special exception. And then it clears. That's the other
that?
Thing too.
You can do. You can
do that.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then it has to meet the criteria.
Yeah.
And then if it does,
I see. Yeah. I didn't know you could do that.
Okay.
It's,
yeah.
It's like a five minute thing going to this.
Okay.
CBA.
I see.
And then it takes the whole planning board, you know, out of the fact of, okay, now we have to look at all these different things in here and get sets of plans and all this other stuff.
And be consistent with every case thereafter.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I didn't set this up as either way.
I didn't know you
right?
could do that.
Yeah.
So if we stay with the special exception, it'll stay in 15.04E, right?
Yeah.
Which, quite honestly, I also think maybe, when I was looking at it, maybe a good idea, because the conditional use permits have been pretty hot with the residents lately. By putting another conditional use on, we may get some additional heat.
Yeah.
Also, I thought I had.
I think it is just, now that I understand the mechanics of it, I think it's just a better way to do it. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So an accessory dwelling unit may be within, attached, or detached to the main dwelling unit.
Yeah.
There shall be no more than 2 with a maximum of 1 detached accessory dwelling units for any single family dwelling.
Well, I thought the whole thing was that it was could be detached. It didn't have to be attached to a dwelling unit at all.
Well, the first one doesn't have to be, but again, following what the state was doing,
only one can
be detached is what the state went with.
So you can have a bunch of ADUs in the backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one the state went with in there too?
Yeah. Yep.
So we're still requiring them.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
So we're still requiring them to attach it to a dwelling.
Only if they have 2.
Right.
So you can have one detached.
You have
detached,
one detached,
and
the second one has to be.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Right.
So if you go ahead and detach the first one, then you've got to attach the second one.
And that was the weird thing about the state's wording, right? It didn't say that you can only have 1 detached. It said, if the first ADU is detached, the second ADU must be attached. And it's like,
right.
That's a really complex way to say you can only have 1 detached, right? So that's why
Kevin says, you know, if they, people right. are always going to look for an angle. That's
okay.
what you do.
There shall be no more than 2 bedrooms in the accessory dwelling unit, which
yeah.
was, that's existing.
Yeah.
Adequate sewer and water shall be provided in accordance with the state of New Hampshire septic system regulations.
Mm-hmm.
There shall be a maximum of 825 square feet for an accessory dwelling unit, nor shall it exceed 75% of the square footage of the primary residence.
Yeah.
And that's new. We had never had that in there before.
But that comes.
That's what we wound up with. It was 8.25. I thought we went to 8.50.
I'll go either way.
I thought we had 8.50.
I thought we had 8.50.
All right. I must have miswrote it, so we'll do 8.50.
Remember, I was the guy that won 1,000.
That's good recall for the oldest. For the senior planning board member.
All right. So we got that.
It was based on so that it didn't conflict with the two family dwelling regulations.
Right.
Because if it did, then you had to have 3 acres.
So if you've got a 900-square-foot house, you cannot build an 850-square-foot ADU.
Correct.
Okay.
Ooh, he's got, that's a camper trailer.
You're not living there permanently.
Right. We were talking about parking, so I put here, on-site parking shall be provided in overall compliance with Article 9 for the main dwelling unit and any accessory dwelling units on premise.
Yeah, that's a good way of getting out of it.
Right, because Section 9, Article 9 talks about if you add to the house, you have to have adequate parking, yada, yada, yada. Just dump it right back on the zoning ordinance, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All existing setback requirements shall be met. Architectural enhancements, this one I had to play with a little bit, so tell me if you like it or not. Architectural enhancements will be employed for the purpose of maintaining aesthetic continuity with the principal dwelling unit and the attached resulting in attached units appearing to be as a single family dwelling.
There's no B though. See, it should be appearing as to be.
Yep. And because the original, the current zoning ordinance, that's maybe why that got screwed up because I was editing that. The original zoning ordinance said that it had to appear as a single residence. Okay. And detached units appear to be similar to the main dwelling. I added that in. I don't know if anybody likes that wording or not.
I like it.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think it's vague, so people could. It's similar. It's got a roof and four walls, so it's very.
But
similar.
If it's outrageous,
not when it says architectural.
You've got something to say. Hey, you know.
Architecturally is more than walls and a roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a design.
It's, yeah. Agreed.
Okay.
So if you wanted it to
be like Colbert's shack.
Right. Say you had a colonial and you wanted to build a barn with the unit over the barn, so a barn doesn't look like a colonial.
No, it fits though. Barns
but
with
it fits.
Colonials go
the barn
aesthetically.
Would fit in the rural character.
Yeah. But if you wanted to do, say, a Frank Lloyd Wright house with a colonial, you're like, no. You know what I mean? A straight, square, box thing next to something.
Maybe we don't say similar.
Why not?
Maybe we say similar or compatible or something like that.
Compatible is too easy to
argue. Similar.
If it's compatible to them, it may not be compatible to everybody else.
Okay.
I like the similar.
Okay. Either the primary or accessory dwelling unit shall be occupied by the owner of the property. That's existing.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
The current state building and fire codes for two-family dwellings shall apply to attached units.
Yep.
I had to add attached to that, okay? Detached units shall be within 50 feet of the primary dwelling unit. That was kind of a number we all...
50 feet. Yeah. Close proximity.
Yeah.
I was a number we pulled out
of... I know. I'm just thinking...
An orifice of our body.
If you had a barn that you put up and there was a double driveway with a circle around it to drive around... It would be more than 50 feet, but you could probably get a waiver on it. Is that something that we would...
If we give it to the zoning board, they can give it a waiver on that.
Right. Yeah.
Unless you want to just say minimum of 50.
No, I don't, because they
don't like that.
Well, no, because if somebody's got a detached 50 garage...
50 is twice as far as what the 55 houses are. They're like, what, 25, 30?
But I think that's what we're saying as a board, like we want it to remain... Like, we don't want people doing the second home down way out and back.
Because 50 feet is to the front door of the PD over there from here.
Yeah, so that should be enough. That's close. That's proximity. I mean, if you guys said 75, I don't think the difference between 50 and 75 is going to matter. I'd be fine with either number.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I was even thinking 100, but 75 would be...
Yeah.
I'll go 70.
Would give you
More flexibility. Right.
Yeah. Change it to 75.
Yeah, the site thing or something.
I'll see
75.
I'll see your 75 and raise you to 80.
Right. Again, I think I was at 100, but that's how.
So yeah. 75 feet, 25 yards. That's really not very far. Right?
No.
No, it's still. Okay. You can still throw a rock at it.
If you want to have a pool house down.
Right. Oh, Rudy's raising 100. Brian's at 100.
I'll
got
see,
two
I'll
at
see
100.
Your 100.
You 100? I'd raise it to 100.
You got three raises.
That's three.
I got no troubles with it.
Hey,
yeah,
100 gets there.
100's good. Okay.
And then it'll be less likely to have to go way.
That's what I was saying.
Correct. And that's what we're trying to do.
Way more general.
Yeah. Because we got this.
Process.
Because we got the next limiting factor here for that distance, right? Accessory dwelling units must use the existing entrance / entrances from the street and shared with the primary dwelling.
Yep,
yeah. One driveway.
One driveway, yeah. But if they've got
but
two...
But understand, you can have two driveways.
Right.
Down now.
And that's why I said existing
sharing.
Entrance or S, right?
Yeah,
entrance,
right.
Entrances.
Yeah.
Okay.
That covers it.
That covers it.
Yeah.
Right?
Nice.
Nice job.
So if everybody's okay with this as edited...
Other than adding the word B,
and we're gonna make this
with,
or just
yeah.
get rid of the
side
to B,
or get rid of the word just, or just get rid of the word two.
Just get rid of two.
Just say
yeah.
Hearing
as
a
single.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's why I was like, where's
yeah,
the
I
B
know.
Going?
Yep.
I thought the same thing.
So and we're gonna get rid of the conditional use and make it special exception. Leave it exactly where it
correct.
Sits in the zoning ordinance
correct.
Today.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sir.
Okay.
So if we go back to that sentence. Appearing as a single-family dwelling unit and detached unit appear to be similar to main dwelling of similar architecturally to the main dwelling?
No.
Okay.
No, just similar.
Similar
architecturally.
It already says it. Architecturally enhancements.
And according to the purpose, maintain aesthetic continuity of the principal dwelling unit.
Yeah.
It should be a comma after the dwelling unit.
Yeah. Never mind.
All right.
If it did say architectural, I'd agree with it.
Resulting in attached units. Hearing as.
Hey Brian, can you toss me one of those lifesaver things that are
all right?
There?
You want to? Do you want to? So we're going to have to, you know, do a you know put this on the agenda and get public feedback. Do you want to do one more pass to get all these corrections right, and then put it on? Because we can't do anything till March anyway.
Right.
But I just want to get this put to bed.
You have to do a public hearing.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Said, yeah.
Do we want to do that? Like next week, or do we want to wait? Well, we're going to have Nate come in next
yeah, you,
meeting.
Yeah, but we don't have that much, you said, for the next meeting.
I have a question. Did you make any changes to this?
No.
Yes.
Okay. Well, all no,
yeah.
all
yes,
I did.
The C is gone.
Oh,
okay.
The C is gone.
Yeah.
On both of them, yeah.
Right.
And now it's all.
I'd wait until your October meeting, the first meeting in October.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah, again, we're not under a rush. I just wanted to, like, everybody's. Been talking about this. I wanted to get this done and out of the way so
yeah,
we weren't scrambling
yeah.
at the end.
We'll look at it at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. The final and then
yeah,
the
yeah,
draft.
Yeah, nay. Okay.
Agreed.
Yep.
Yeah. Approve the draft and then public hearing next
okay.
meeting.
All good?
Perfect. Yeah. I could make a motion.
I would make a motion.
That we adjourn.
I knew where you're going. Go ahead. You haven't done anything tonight
second.
For that.
Second.
Whoa.
Well, no, she tried.
Whoa, whoa,
she tried, and
whoa.
Then you shot her down, Rudy, because she wasn't here that meeting.
Whoa. That was a slam.
All right.
I tried.
Who's gonna second?
I'll second.
I thought you said.
No, she did. I'm sorry.
I
yeah.
did. I seconded.
She seconded.
I did do that.
That's right. Good.
I was told to.
All right. We'll go down. Just
kind of shamed into it all.
I'm not going to do a roll call. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, perfect.
Perfect.